Hello, this is episode one of the podcast Ready to Conceive. So, are you ready? Are you ready to conceive, carry and deliver a healthy baby? You would say, another podcast on fertility. Why? Well, because as I say, why bother? It's a quote, by the way. Why bother? Because right now there is someone there with the wound the shape of your words. And this is exactly why I think that I want to help as many people as possible through my work, through my words, through my other ways of support. And the podcast is a platform which allows me listen to you, respond to you directly so that you can ask questions and I will answer them in the nearest episode of podcast. If you are a health professional and work in the topic of natural fertility support, reach out. We will make a program, an episode with you so that you can be heard as well, and as many people as possible will benefit from our work and our support. So why do I say ready to conceive? What do I mean by that, ready to conceive? Well, I'm a naturopath, a medical herbalist, a nutritionist, functional medicine specialist, and functional testing specialist. I work in nutrigenomics, and I have dedicated about 20 years of my life to perfect the art and the science of natural medicine. I'm a very spiritual person. I work with energies of plants. I work with five element system and other spiritual systems like astrology, and working with guides and medical intuition. And I want to bring all of that to the table in a way that people will relate to, all for the opportunity to support you in carrying, in conceiving, carrying and delivering a healthy baby, and thus manifesting this miracle of bringing new life to the world. When I got drawn to this work, and I felt really like, my personal spiritual development involves me meditating and getting sort of tuned in with the messages from my guardian angels and stuff like that. And if it's not something you are ready to hear, then I'm not the right person to help you on your journey. So when I was doing this work, I got clear message that I should be. I used to work in just female health, perimenopause, working with women 35 plus with their health sort of conditions, and I felt that it's very close to what I needed to be doing, but not quite there. And I was thinking, okay, well, what is there? And when I was doing this work, I suddenly got this meditation, very, very clear pull and very, very clear symbology of working in that direction, moving to that direction. I was like, but the conception is a miracle. You know, what's my role there? That this, like, either you kind of are blessed with a child or not, it depends on your personal beliefs, of course. And the message was very clear. Yes, the conception is the miracle, and the conception happens, but as kind of graced, we're graced with conception, but the bodies and the minds and the souls need to be ready. And this is where you come in and you do your work. And it felt so logical when I was like, why couldn't I get it myself? Why this needs to be like some kind of a messaging, higher messaging system for me to understand that. But anyway, and here I am about a year and a half after that kind of realization. I have done a very comprehensive mentoring program, gone through a very comprehensive mentoring program with one of the key fertility specialists in Britain, and I have used all my previous training to kind of fine-tune it, and now have developed several ways people can work with me in that way individually. However, I always felt that there needs to be a wider reach to people. You know, not everyone's ready to come in and, you know, commit to the work, because working in fertility requires commitment. I cannot put onto the table, I can put on the table half, even third. I would say I bring to the table about third of work, and you and your partner, depends how you work, that's actually a very interesting point as well. And you and your partner, you add the other half, the other two thirds, you know, and then there is a 1% of the miracle that is always there. And so this is what, when I have these introduction sessions with people who come to see me, I always tell them that it's all about, are you ready? Are you ready to work? Are you ready to give up alcohol? Are you ready to change something in your lifestyle? And that's not just that, it's also about, so anyway, I'll come back to that, but what I'm trying to say here that readiness comes at different layers and in different steps. If somebody is in their early 30s and they're still not sure whether parenting is for them or mothering is for them, it's time to start questioning that, because again, if you think it is something you are considering and is part of your personal life story and your persona and your soul make, if you like, you know, your kind of composition of your soul, then start thinking about it. Like, for example, what is your modus operandi about it? When I was, I knew I wanted a child since I was 15. I wanted a family. I was absolutely adamant that's what I wanted. People couldn't understand, you know, a lot of people couldn't understand me. They were like, you're bright, you're going to be like a career or anything. I understood all of that. But at the very, very same time, I knew that I will not feel happy if I did not have a family and children. Not happy, it's like this kind of completion, some kind of accomplishment, you know, like when I go to clinic, so morning, my clinic day morning is I get up, I follow lead from my husband and we do a really good morning heat exercise, and then I have a lovely breakfast, I pack the kids to school, I walk through the beautiful village and then walk along the river and everything's green and the birds are singing, and we walk, two of my kids walk, I take them to school, they squabble as we walk to school, but I actually, there's something nice about it, you know, because I know that because they've got this interaction, a need for interaction with each other, they will, when they will grow, they will learn to operate better and the squabbling will sort of be replaced with a sort of nice banter of a brother and a sister. So I get them to school, then I walk through a very, very, very beautiful park with my favorite trees ever. And sometimes I stop by these trees to hug them. Yeah, I do hug the trees. And then I get to my clinic and the sheer happiness is just like, I don't know, it's kind of oozing through me, you know. And then I've got my patients and we do different things. We go very, very medically sciencey. We go very, very spiritually, depends where they want to go. I offer them the range, what is it there? And this is how I have envisaged my life. This is my picture of completion. And so it wasn't easy. And this life is also not easy. We had to, like, I can't just get up and say, all right, I want to go hiking this weekend. You know, it doesn't happen that way because the kids got their schedules. My husband's got his schedule. I've got my schedule. So there are limitations. Don't take me wrong. I'm not some kind of a, you know, I don't know. But I'm not some kind of a model Instagram person. But what I'm saying is, I always knew that was what I wanted. where I was brought up and how it was, it just wasn't conceivable that that's possible. But as a part of my personal story here, probably that I lived in Soviet Union, and when the perestroika began, the only thing I did probably was English, and I really wanted to travel the world. So I chose to study business and international business, just travel the world. You know, there was no concept of blogging and vlogging and travelogging then. So I thought, okay, I have to be useful and do that. So, and all of the idea, and everyone was saying to me, you should go to medicine. You're good with people. You are very, very kind of bright in that way. But I completely neglected it. It wasn't part of what I wanted to do. I wanted to travel the world. And then as I was, as in my early 20s, I got a job in an international business and all was moving in and fine. And I suddenly realized, okay, that's now I can travel the world. And what do I want to do in this world? How, what am I about in this world? And it took me several years of really deep soul searching. And I invite everyone to do this work. I have done an astrology chart. I've done some counseling, some coaching, you name it. And I grew into understanding of what was really, I was listening to this. I allowed the kind of the little seed of myself, I allowed it to manifest and to grow. And one day I just realized that the vision I have of me is this woman with a cauldron stirring the herbs in the cauldron. And I just like was, wow. And then the next one was, you know, SHIT type thing. Where this vision and where I am working in the international business setting, how it's gonna merge, where it's gonna take me, what's gonna happen? So it took another like about 8 years for me to decide that, okay, I've started learning all the disciplines related to herbalism, the energetics of that and that. And then I decided that that's not enough. That's clearly not enough. It just, even if you see, the problem is, I think that when people come to see someone from natural profession, the kind of problem, as you know, like there's protein organization, there's a protein and protein, like for example, hemoglobin is the fourth level of protein organization. So there's a protein, then protein make a strand, then strand make a curl, then curl makes a shape. So this shape is the hemoglobin molecule. And this is how people come to see you. They're already like quite way off their beaten track. And it takes quite a lot of layers to get them sort of kind of aligned with their health, with their blueprint. I call it a blueprint, alignment with a blueprint on the physical, emotional, and if you like, spiritual level as well. However, I am not, quite often I tell people if their religion supports them to go and see a priest and talk about things with their priest, because it's kind of next level beyond my remit either. So anyway, I went to a full, very, very medical course in herbal medicine here in the UK. And when I moved to the UK, I realized I'm 33. I really want to start a family. If I ever, and suddenly after working for 16 hours, 24/7, I was working like what other people considered to be tough and difficult. For me, it was like a day off, you know, you just go to the uni, come home, read a book and that's it, you know, and do some studies and that's it. Suddenly I felt very, very privileged in terms of time. So I decided that it was time to try my fate and meet Mr. Wright. And with Mr. Wright, I would say that on the third time I saw him, we discussed it. I mean, he was 39, I was 34, and we discussed that we want to have a family, because I was I liked him from, it was from my part, it was love from first sight. And I was very clear with him that I'm a person of a mission. My mission is my work and my mission is my family. And I've got no time to waste on, you know, kind of, if he's not serious, basically, I'm not interested. I am willing to give us time and stuff like that. But if there's like, oh, maybes and ah, buts and stuff, I'm really not interested. And I was very clear about that because I knew I'd rather be heartbroken now than I will spend years to find out, well, I'm not ready for a baby, I'm not ready to do that, I'm not ready to do that. But he, as we now know, because we've just celebrated our 10th wedding anniversary, he was just, he really felt similarly as me, that it was, we were right people for each other, and he wanted to have a family. So I'm coming back to this question, what is your vision for your family? What is your vision for your parenting? If it's a solo parenting choice or it's a sort of non-binary parenting choice, you need to be clear about it as well. And there's nothing worse than not being open and honest with yourself. As I say, it's like, I've recently been speaking to a podcast with a beautiful Andrea Balboni, who is coaching women to find their Mr. Right or Miss Right, or, you know, person, a right soul to them. And we have discussed that this honesty, the brutal honesty, what do I want? Also, there is a need to realize that parenting and puppy is not just for Christmas. It's not just to please your colleagues or friends or your sister who's already got five and you can't get one, you know, type thing. It's totally not about it. It's totally like, I've got two, and I don't think I'm the best mother in the world, but the amount of commitment it takes to bring up the kids is quite a lot. It's more than I expected, you know, really. It is more than I expected, because it's not only the topics that raise are like unexpected. Like, for example, something I never thought of. My daughter fell out with her classmates last year, and it was a massive, like, personal drama, you know, and it involved so many people, and it was like, oh my god, what am I going to do about it? And then we had to, you know, I had to speak to the teacher, speak to my daughter, speak to the parents of some of the classmates, and oh my god, that's like, you know, when you've got a conflict in your team and business, multiplies 1,000, because part of the conflict is of between immature kind of decision makers. They may be mature souls, you know. My daughter is quite a mature soul. She knows what she wants to do. She's very clear about that, and I've got no doubt that that's how she is. And then, but still, you know, their decision making is still not, because probably at a soul level, this kind of falling out was justified. But in terms of our social levels and how we want to interact with each other and how we want to present to each other and how we want them to behave in social settings, it wasn't the kind of appropriate way to behave, if you like. So anyway, stuff like that comes up, you know, and some things children challenge you quite a bit. For example, my children, they don't eat what I cook for them. And, you know, can you imagine that? As a nutritionist mom, you want them to eat veg, you want them to eat rainbow, and you cook the best rainbow in the universe, and you get to bring it to the table just to see that, oh, wow, no, it's not happening. We need to negotiate and, you know, find this kind of island of the veg that lands on the sea of the rest of the food. Anyway, so all of that is part of this readiness to conceive. But you say, oh, come on, stop talking about your kind of personal stuff. Yes, there is a massive amount of work that is related to physical state. And this is probably, again, what I touched upon a bit earlier, which is the connection between the body, mind, and the spirit. So, and as I said, that when people come to see you, they're sort of in the fourth sort of degree of complexity. So, in my opinion, what happens is this, and a lot of ways of kind of psychosomatic medicine look into that, and high end hypnotherapy and new German medicine now, that kind of, they're all beautiful disciplines. So what the idea is that the mind matters, you know, and what I add to that your soul matters as well. So if you are misaligned with what you're supposed to be doing, then it will be a drift, and then some physical unhappiness, and these physical symptoms will manifest. Now, with the like five element tradition, the Chinese are quite a bit more sophisticated about it, and I actually like it, because I think that oversimplification is not helping at all. And then what Chinese were saying that for example, we have got things like aggressive energy. By aggressive energies, they don't mean that, they actually mean a lot of things. So our pollutants are part of the aggressive energy, if you like, and the things that we've done to our earth are part of this aggressive energy, and you need to work with that, you need to clear that. Now, they offer like energetic ways of working with that, and acupuncture ways of working with that. However, we also understand that there are biochemical ways of working with that. For example, if someone, the questions about lifestyle, if somebody works as a, say, as a manager in the office, and they have got a commute for about 2 hours on by car. So that means like they spend about 3 to 4 hours in the car, and then they spend 8 hours in the office. The amount of pollution that this person is exposed to is quite high, to be honest. And for example, some people have got more robust constitution, some people have got more robust genetic, some people are just younger, and they kind of can cope with that. But be sure that as you age, all of that will be affecting, like all of that will be affecting you, like in your day-to-day health. And say if the conception happens in a couple, I'll just take like a male-female couple as an example here. So if she's in her, like she's 38, he's 45, but which is a common kind of gap, or okay, they're both 38, or she's 38, he's 35. It doesn't matter, matters that we need to look into this personal exposure to everything. And this is what we will be talking on this podcast as well, because I want to leave no stone unturned. I want you to know that there are issues of various kinds. For example, like that was physical, just literally physical issue, air pollution. You need to think about how you're going to manage it. Can you work from home a couple of days? Can you go by train? What kind of work are you doing? What's your strategy at work? Where you're heading to, you know? So, like, you know, all of that. Because strategy at work, I mean, if you're working like as a, you know, I don't know, as a city trader, that's a very, very short spell work. Believe me, I am 44. And before doing that, I had a rather high position in an international company in marketing. And I know what I'm talking about. And so it's a short spell. By the time you're 45, you'll probably be burned out. And it's best if it's 45. You'll probably be burned out, and you'll probably not want to do that. Many people reconsider, like have a, it's kind of a feature of our modern time, this vignette careers or portfolio careers. So what are you going to be doing? What's your next step? Have you thought about it even, you know? And this is more, even this is more applicable to women, for example, because not everyone, say you've got a, you know, high flying lifestyle where you really like couple of, some of the couples I work with, they meet a couple of times a month and they want to conceive, you know, and like it's quite a physical difficulty to get into the ovulation point, into the time and space when, you know, how this can happen. And if both flew for 20 hours each way to meet each other in this hotel, and it's like, is it really time to do that, you know? And again, this is something to consider as a part. And then once you've got this child, are you necessarily willing to carry on with this lifestyle? Which is fine. It's just you need to understand that that's going to have some consequences. That's going to have some implications. How are you going to address them? That's your personal way. But not thinking about it is not helping you get ready. Okay. The other things are, of course, the various emotional concerns and grievance, and you know, depends what your personal story is, and it's not necessarily something that relates directly to conception. For example, a loss of a pregnancy, most tragic events, and but it can be something else which you didn't deal with previously. For example, I had a consultation with a couple where, I was very happy. I'm sorry, it's not that way happy, but I was quite relieved to see a real physical reason why they're not conceiving. And I knew that correcting that was in our gift. And so when I presented these findings to the couple, the woman, the female partner, was very distressed. She was very, very distressed upon hearing this news, and she was way more distressed than my scale of distress kind of was, kind of, you know, like everyone's calibrating there. But everything, I tell you what's happened to them. So when she felt that distressed about this news and the changes and dietary changes and everything, I gave her space, time, then she spoke, and you know, what transpired that there was a family history of tragic events related to some of the kind of, somehow this news triggered these tragic events in her family. And she felt that all of these emotions just were stirred up. And obviously, for obvious reasons, I just felt that this situation needed some kind of healing before she'd be able to face the facts and just, you know, work with that. Now, when it all happened, I felt that I wasn't equipped well to deal with this situation. So that triggered me into my learning, and I've just completed my counseling skills course to be able, I was just like, I'm out of my depths here. I did help her as much as I could. I did support her with just like words, you know, like words coming from my heart and practicalities of things, and suggested they do some counseling work and healing work. And but this is again, we're talking about emotional side of things. And yes, and so, and the spiritual side of things can be as well. For example, I worked with a family, this is with energies of plants, and there was quite a lot of previous generation unhappiness in the family, and we had to work for a little bit through five element system and through the energies of plants to realign this story and bring this person back to ground zero, if you like, so that they can now build their personal fertility story. So in practical terms, what I'm trying to say here is that the physical, the emotional, and the spiritual works are equally important. It's not that if we are doing like healing work, it doesn't mean you don't have to do your vaginal swab. You know, you do. You still do have to do your vaginal swab and the semen test and the blood test and look into your thyroid and all of that. We will be talking about just what I am saying at this podcast, that I do not want to castrate my work and just stick with the like the science bit, because it's not always and almost never it is the whole picture. And this readiness to conceive to me comes as this kind of a more comprehensive picture, and for everyone, for everyone finds their own. It's like a puzzle of life, you know, like if you like, and everyone's got their own puzzle to build. And my work is to offer you some guidance around the puzzle you're trying to build and see, like, are there any missing pieces and how you can personally build it. Again, I'm coming back to the point, it's, are you ready to conceive? Are you ready to work to conceive? And yes, I work with IVF. So what happens is, what my work is so much pre-IVF. It's like something that there are some IVF clinics don't even talk to you about it, unfortunately. Some do. And I'm always looking for clinics that are open to this natural help solution prior to their work. You know that on average there are 3 failed IVF attempts before success, and 3 attempts on average, that's at least like what, 45,000 to 60,000 pounds. It's just like the money. I'm in Britain, obviously, but it's also the hopes, the dreams, the energy, and the, like, that's this a side of things, and the drugs and the side effects, that's another side of things. So it's a lot to take in, and my job is to prepare you as much as possible. For example, potentially there's a possibility to use less drugs, possibility to just do it once, and all of that matters. But this is why I'm here, and do reach out, do ask questions. I am looking forward to developing this podcast. I understand that for some people, my whole holisticness, which includes the spiritual side of things as emotional and physical, is maybe too much, which is fine. I belong to this very few pioneering practitioners of our times who do not wish to kind of neglect the wholesomeness of it, the spiritual side as well. And I hope to interview them on this podcast, and if not, I will talk about their work, talk about their, just to help this message to be more public and more developed. All right, well, thank you very much, and speak to you next week. Thank you. Bye-bye.